The Fred Allen Show. Brought to you by Pana Toothpaste for the smile of beauty, Sal Hepatica for the smile of health. An hour of smiles with Fred Allen, folks. 3,600 seconds of fun and music. Fun with our star comedian, Fred Allen. With our guest star, the mastermind of the donut industry. Music with Peter Van Steeden, the Merry Max, and Wynn Murray. The time has come. It's the Fred Allen Show. Now the lights are dim, the curtain rises. Overture, it's 100-1. Ladies and gentlemen, as the evening sun, a fiery orb, sinks slowly into the golden west, we turn with regret from the end of a perfect day to face the hectic hour we know is to come. And so we say aloha to peace and contentment, and helloa to Fred Allen in person.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Say, what sort of an introduction was that, Harry?
I
happened to hear it. You know, my ears have been fixed.
Yes.
The sun, that fiery orb, aloha, helloa, what was...
Well, I'm sorry, Fred.
You sounded like James Fitzpatrick checking out of Tahiti with one of his travelogues.
No, I just forgot myself, Fred. I've been working on my other job all afternoon. And...
What am I? Am I getting to be a sideline with you or something?
Well...
Everyone should have a sideline, but picking on me. But what other job is this?
Oh, well, I thought you knew about that.
No, nobody.
Oh, well, I'm announcing for the Pathé News now.
Well, that's certainly news to me. Have you got your picture stuck up on the corner of the screen like Lou Lair has?
Oh, no, no. No, I don't appear on the screen, Fred. I'm just a disembodied voice.
Disembodied?
Yeah.
Have you hung your head lately, Harry?
Not since last week's program, no.
Well, the next time you hang your head, look down, disembodied.
Oh.
Why, you look as though you had just bolted the perisphere.
Oh, this. Well, all right, I am getting a slight abdominal puff.
A slight abdominal puff. If that bulge gets any bigger, Harry, you'll have to sew a snood on the front of your shirt. And while you're looking around for a needle and thread, we say aloha to your paunch. And I hope it doesn't answer. And helloa, helloa, helloa to the news of the week. Peter, the IPANA Newsreel presents your news cavalcade. Brooklyn, New York. Appellate division in Brooklyn court rules that any pedestrian crossing thoroughfare with traffic lights in his favor has the right of way until he reaches the other side, even though said lights change color while said pedestrian is in the middle of said thoroughfare. IPANA News interviews man in the street to get his reaction to this recent legal ruling. Mr. Truman Wassup, a former resident of Jackson Heights, says,
"This pedestrian's victory come too late for me."
Oh, you are a traffic light victim, Mr. Wassup.
I ain't seen me wife and kiddies for 2 years.
Really? Well, what happened?
Well, on the night of November 8, 1937, I'm starting home from work to Jackson Heights.
Yes?
I'm standing in the cave at 42nd Street. My body is poised. My eyes is agleam. Every sense is alight. My sinews is tensed like a startled fawn.
Well, why?
I'm waiting for the lights to change.
You were on the qui vive.
No, on the corner of 42nd Street.
Oh, I see.
Snap! The light goes green. I'm off. I get to the middle of the street. Snap! The light goes red.
Yes?
Traffic is on me with a mighty roar.
What did you do?
Well, I looked to the right, a taxi. I looked to the left, a bus. To the east, a motorcycle. To the west, a truck.
Gad, what a dilemma.
Yes. I looked down, and there is an open manhole. It's my only hope.
You dove down into that open manhole 2 years ago.
And I've been living there ever since. I can't get out.
Why not?
Well, every time I stick my head up out of the manhole...
Yes?
The kids in the block start a soccer game.
I was wondering what you were doing with three foreheads.
Yeah, the contusions on me head has got contusions on them.
Well, condolences and thank
hey,
you.
Hey, if you're ever passing that open manhole on 42nd Street, drop in.
I sure will. And sorry I brought you up just for that, Mr. Wassup. And thank you. A drugstore employee who welcomes the new pedestrian ruling is Mrs. Lovey Tannenbaum.
The Lovey you are spelling with thrice E.
Oh. L-O-V-E-E.
Also, the last E shall be with a capital.
A capital at the end.
Tannenbaum, you're making with a hyphen.
Well, I've never heard of a hyphen in Tannenbaum.
Well, confidentially, when we are living downtown, Tannenbaum, one word is all together. Oh. Now we are living uptown, we are making with a hyphen.
Oh, I see, I see.
Upstairs is living Mrs. Goldberg. Goldberg, she's making with a semicolon.
A semicolon. Well, fine. Now that we've disposed of the neighborhood, what about this new traffic ruling?
For a pedestrian, which I happen to be, it is meaning happy days, but positively.
Do you have occasion to cross the street a lot, Mrs. Tannenbaum?
Once a day for 6 years, I am crossing 38th Street incessantly.
You cross 38th Street once a day?
At 5 o'clock through the duffel.
Through the duffel. Well, why?
Well, in my present capacity, I happen to cashier at Pinker's People's Pharmacy. It's a drugstore.
Well, I wouldn't have known otherwise. I'm unfortunate you mentioned it.
Across the street, but diagonal, is Berkovich, a dress shop.
Diagonal. I get your slant.
Every day before closing time, Berkovich is looking on the cash register, and Berkovich is saying, "Oh, have I got a headache." So I am coming across the street diagonal with aspirin.
And for 6 years, you have never had any difficulty crossing the street with your aspirin?
Once only. But with quick wit, I am muddling through to Boykovich.
Well, when did this happen?
On March 17th. It's St. Patrick's Day. The street is packed. I'm looking at a parade with traffic.
Yes?
Boykovich is there with a headache. I am here with the aspirin. And between Berkovich and the aspirin is going up and down the St. Patrick's Parade.
A predicament. Well, how did you cross the street?
How, Hizeski? Like a flash, I am joining the ancient order of Hibernines.
Yes?
The Hibernines in a jiffy is putting me in the parade.
Yes?
And I am marching across the street to Berkovich diagonal with the aspirin.
Some strategy. And you are still a member of the ancient order.
I'm a wild Irish rose.
Well, you sure are incognito tonight. And thank you, Mrs. Lovey Tannenbaum. Another pedestrian who isn't bothered by the court's decision, Mr. Prentice Wetty.
Traffic lights ain't no skin off of mine. No.
Have you a word of advice to offer pedestrians, Mr. Wetty?
Anybody that gets caught when the lights change has got to work out their own problem.
You don't feel for the other fellow.
It ain't no skin off of my nose. I've been caught in the middle of the street millions of times. It ain't no skin off of my nose.
No, I can see that.
I've stood out there with taxis and trucks brushing me so close you couldn't tell their chassis from mine. I kept me head.
But thousands of other pedestrians have been hurt.
It ain't no skin off of my nose.
Well, naturally.
I was out there this morning. cars whizzing by me. One fender took off the seat of me pants.
I know. It wasn't any skin off of your nose. Well, happy healing, and thank you, Mr. Prentice Wetty. To have the pedestrian's rights clearly understood, Ipana News asks Judge Morley Spratt to define the recent legal ruling. Judge Spratt.
Where a prima facie case has not been easy prius, the pedestrian status in crossing the highway is volente non fit injuria. In other words, non feasant intensit is demortuous or vol vistu gaily star.
In your judicial opinion, Judge,
there is but one way to solve our present problem: traffic regimentation.
Traffic regimentation.
Exactly.
Well, how would that work?
Mondays, all traffic will go east.
Yes.
Tuesdays, all traffic will go west.
Yes.
Wednesdays, east. Thursdays, west. Fridays,
well, what
east.
About the north Saturdays, and south?
Sunday.
What about...
What?
I said, what about the north and south?
Well, their differences were settled in the Civil War.
Thank you. Thank you. And now, ladies and gentlemen, Miss Gwen Murray sings for us, "I Didn't Know What Time It Was."
I didn't know what time it was till I met you. Oh, what a lovely time it was, how sublime it was to me. Once I was young, yesterday perhaps, danced with Jim and Paul, and kissed some other chap. Once I was young, but never was naive, thought I had a trick or two up my imaginary sleeve. But now I know I was naive. I didn't know what time it was till I met you. Oh, what a lovely time it was, how sublime it was too. I didn't know what day it was, you held my hand, warm like the month of May it was, and I'll say it was grand to be alive, to be young, to be mad, to be yours alone. And to see your face, feel your touch, hear your voice, say I'm all your own. I didn't know what years was, life was no prize. I wanted love and here it was, shining out of your eyes. I'm wise, and I know what time it is now.
Thank you. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we would like to call your attention... to your attention, one very particular item on our agenda.
Fred, what's an agenda?
Well, Harry, I was under the impression that education was practically compulsory in these United States.
Well, I know, Fred, but I must have missed that one.
Well, Harry, agenda means items that must be brought to people's attention, things that must be attended to.
Oh, well, now I get it. Tender gums and dingy teeth.
How is that again?
Well, those are things to be brought to people's attention, and they're certainly things that must be attended to.
Say, I think you've got something there, Harry.
Yes, I have, Fred. And it's something for those dingy teeth and tender gums.
high panna toothpaste and massage. An easy, modern help to a far more attractive smile. You see, ladies and gentlemen, your smile seldom reveals teeth that are bright and sparkling when your gums are tender and soft. And today's creamy, well-cooked foods tend to deprive your gums of the vigorous chewing they need for health. That's why they often grow flaky and weak and flash that warning signal of pink toothbrush. When you see that, by all means, see your dentist. You may not be in for serious trouble, but let him decide. Usually, his verdict will be,
your gums have grown lazy from lack of exercise. They need more stimulation to keep them firm and healthy.
And very often, as so many dentists do, he will add,
your gums will respond to the helpful stimulation of Ipana toothpaste and massage.
So adopt this modern dental health routine. Massage with Ipana. Help to keep your teeth brighter, your gums firmer, and your smile one of winning charm. Get an economical tube of Ipana at your druggist's tomorrow.
Peter Van Steeden and his Melody Madcaps have just played Exactly Like You, if you happen to be a little off-key. And now, ladies and gentlemen...
Hello!
Oh, hello, Portland. Say, what is this with you? You're late again tonight.
I'm sorry. Mama and I went to the antique show.
Why don't you tell somebody? Well, say, what's new at the antique show?
Nothing's new. Antique means old. It comes from the Latin. Antiquus, antiquus, antiquum.
Well, that sounds like a Latin parley to me. Say, how did you come by this extraneous chit-chat or knowledge?
I heard it on information, please.
No kidding.
Uh-huh. Did you know the seventh note in Rubinstein's Melody in F is...
That is the seventh note in Rubinstein. Well, Rubinstein will be surprised to hear that. I know it, and you know it, but Rubinstein, wait till he finds it out.
Did you know that the first donut was made in America in 1739?
Say, is that more information, please, Data?
No. Our guest star told me that.
Oh, our guest star tonight is an authority on donuts?
Yes, Mr. Allen, and I want you to meet the Will Hayes of the donut industry. Mr. Alfred L. Plant.
Well, good evening, Mr. Plant.
Good evening, Fred.
Portland refers to you as the Will Hayes of the donut domain. Is that your official title?
Well, not exactly, Fred. Actually, I'm in charge of merchandising research for the donut industry.
Your job is to step up business by checking on the sales technique of donut bakers around the country.
Exactly. I travel from Massachusetts to Miami interviewing salesmen, grocers, and housewives.
Well, how is your consumer demand holding up these days?
Well, very well, Fred. In New York City alone, 80,000 dozen donuts are eaten every day.
80,000 dozen? Why, that's almost 1 million donuts a day. Say, if all of the fat that is used to fry those donuts was put into one lump, you couldn't tell it from a certain radio comedian's head. How Benny gets what little hair he has, How he gets that little bit of tuft of hair to grow in fat is too much for me. Say, how many of your little fried halos were sold in this country? Were sold in this country last year?
$78 million worth, Fred.
78? Say, there's plenty of dough in the donut, isn't there? Is the russet bagel a product? Is the russet bagel a product of modern civilization?
Oh, Fred, donuts go way back. They're even mentioned in the Bible.
Really? I haven't been in a hotel room for so long.
Well, in Leviticus, there is a passage about a round cake fried in oil with a nut in the center.
Well, what was the purpose of the nut?
Well, that was to keep the center from being soggy and underdone.
Oh, I see. And then some fresh air fiend begat the idea of removing the nut and giving vagrant pastry zephyrs the right of way.
Exactly.
Well, that's news to me. You know that I always thought the hole was added so that people with buck teeth could get a grip on the donut.
No. That's a false rumor that was started some years ago.
It was, excuse me?
That's just a false rumor, Fred.
That started some years ago. I hope you nipped it in the batter before it got too far.
We did.
You know, a certain byproduct of your craft has always worried me, Mr. Plant. It is, to name it, the jelly donut.
Well, what's your problem, Fred?
Now, how is a jelly donut assembled? Do they jack up a little blob of jelly and build a donut around it? Or do they just fry a ball of dough and give it a jelly transfusion later?
No, I'm sorry, Fred. I can't tell you that. You know, it's a trade secret.
Oh, a trade. I wouldn't expect you to divulge it in public, Mr. Plant. A soggy faux pas, excuse me. But getting back to the regular, or the Mayflower donut, as we know it around here, it's made by machinery, isn't it?
Yes, Fred. Why, some of our larger machines will turn out 400 dozen donuts an hour.
4,800 donuts an hour. Well, do all of the donuts have a uniform size?
Yes, the standard Mayflower model measures 3 inches in diameter. The hole is 3/4 inch across.
Well, is the industry contemplating any changes in the standard size?
Well, they are. Next year, we're going to put out a slightly larger donut. The diameter will be 3.5 inches.
And the hole will be larger?
Oh, yes. As a matter of fact, the hole will measure a full inch next year.
Well, is there any particular reason for this radical change, Mr. Plant?
Well, yes, there is, Fred. After many surveys, I find that for the same money, we can give the public more donuts.
And more hole as well. That brings us to the one question you, as a donut authority, Mr. Plant, should certainly be able to answer. Is it proper to dunk?
Oh, yes, it certainly is, Fred. Why, haven't you heard of the NDA?
NDA? Well, what is the NDA?
Why, the National Dunking Association.
Really?
Yep, we have 350,000 members listed, including Mayor LaGuardia.
That would be 350,001, wouldn't it? I didn't know. Well, you can tell me then, Mr. Plant, which dunking technique does the NDA favor? The huckster's plunge? that wholly submerges the metacarpus? Or the debutante's dip that merely sprays the cuticle?
Well, personally, Fred, I prefer my own method. It's simple, but it's effective.
Well, what is the Plant method? How do you dunk, Mr. Plant?
Well, first I take a sip or two of my coffee.
That would be to prevent any slopping over.
Exactly. Then I break my donut in half. Yeah. You see, breaking assures a jagged end.
Well, of course. The jagged end being more porous gives you super suction, as it were.
Correct. But then I immerse my donut, penetrating the coffee to a 1-inch depth.
Now, what a just 2-inch depth? You're ever so frugal and prudent, aren't you? What about your dunking grip?
Well, my fingers are arched and spread slightly to avoid any caffeine contact.
Ah, the master. But how do you remove your dank tidbit from the cup? How do you avoid the seepage, that Maxwell House lavalier about the shirt front? See, I'm a novice.
That's not so hard. You see, I just wobble my donut about.
Yes?
And this drains off the surplus coffee right back into the cup.
And then a hole in one, unless you've got a beard and divot trouble. And the dunking operation is consummated.
That's all there is to it, Fred.
Fine. That is your technique. Have you ever heard of my dunking method? The good old horn and hard at plop.
The horn and hard at plop?
Yes. I tell you how it operates. When no one is looking, two donuts are plopped into the cup of coffee surreptitiously. After the donuts sink gently to the bottom and absorption is consummated, the dank hulk is eaten with a knife and fork.
That's definitely bad form, Fred.
Ah, but it's definitely good taste, Mr. Platt. Well, thank you a lot for this instructive little discourse.
It's really been a pleasure to be here.
You had to make up your mind on that. Yes, anyone who's ever been here, Mr. Plant, has to mull it over before they decide whether it's been a pleasure or not. Well, I'm going to tell you, to show you my appreciation, I am going to have Harry's trio sing you a dunking farewell. All right, boys.
Dunks for the memory, a donut in your cup to slop your coffee up. Dunks
to the patter of these singing drips. We bid our guest of the evening aloha.
Good night, Fred. Good night. And thank you, Mr. Alfred Plant.
So dunk you so much.
Thank you. And now the Merrimacks hurriedly assemble to sing for us, to take the curse off of that singing you just heard. Vol Vistu Gaily Star. Ladies and gentlemen, ever since the trend toward quizzing began, a sure way to be the life of any party is to have on hand a few startling facts. Then you can toss them into the conversational hurly-burly whenever you get a chance. For instance, did you know that if a flea was as big as a man, he could jump half a mile?
Oh. Well, I don't think that is particularly startling, Fred.
You're rather blasé, aren't you, Herschel? What is your idea of a startling fact?
Well, something like this. Did you know that 8 out of 10 people in the United States not take proper and sufficient care of their teeth and gums? And ladies and gentlemen, that is one big fans. We constantly remind you to see your dentist regularly and to faithfully care for your teeth and gums by using iPana toothpaste and massage. Now, that's a simple but important routine you should always follow, and for this reason.
Teeth are seldom bright and lustrous when gums are tender and soft. And today's soft foods deny your gums the stimulation and exercise that come from vigorous chewing. As a result, they often become tender and more susceptible to gum trouble.
Fortunately, you can help supply that needed stimulation with Ipana and Taj. So every time you brush your teeth, put a little extra Ipana on your brush or fingertip and massage your gums with it. It will help your gums grow stronger, more resistant, your mouth healthier, and your teeth cleaner and brighter. And since that naturally increases the attractiveness of your smile, you can see it will certainly pay you to say to your druggist tomorrow, a tube of Ipana, please. Ladies and gentlemen, the Fred Allen Show will continue after a short pause for your station identification. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the question of the week. This is Mr. and Mrs. Average Man's Round Table, where three persons selected from our studio audience are invited to give their opinions on one question that concerns a prominent issue of today. These sessions are absolutely unrehearsed. Fred is sitting down now at the table where he meets his fellow debaters for the first time. Are you ready, Fred?
Yes, I am, Harry. We're all ready. And before I announce the question of the week to my committee, I think it's only fit proper that I meet the committee, don't you, Portland?
Yes, I think so.
Well, who is our first member
first
tonight?
First is Mr. Lou Lazarus, a builder from Jamaica, Long Island.
Well, good evening, Mr. Lazarus.
Good evening, Mr. Allen.
Is your home in Jamaica, is it?
Yes, it is.
Jamaica? The Jamaica is the gateway to Long Island, in the manner of saying, isn't it? It's built up quite a lot lately, hasn't it?
Yes, it has.
I can remember years ago when you could find a place to park in Jamaica. We used to work out there a good many years ago. But you're in the U.S., are you?
Yes, I am.
Well, I'd like to ask you, what is your conception of the soundest type of investment a person can make in the real estate line at the moment?
Well, I think a family, for a person who invests in a home, is the safest investment today.
Oh, you mean for a fellow who wants to live in the house himself?
Oh, yes.
Well, thank you very much. I haven't gotten to that point yet, but eventually I'll get thrown out of Radio City. I'll have to live someplace. Of course, in radio, we practically live in here all the time. Well, thank you a lot, Mr. Lazarus. And who's next, Portman?
Mrs. Margaret Sass, North Hollywood, California.
Well, good evening, Mrs. Sass.
Good evening, Mr. Allen.
You're from North Hollywood, California? You're not a fugitive from the ham and egg plan, are you? What are you? May I ask what you're doing here in New York?
I came on a vacation to visit my family.
Oh, on a vacation. Is this your first trip here?
It's my first trip in 2 years.
Oh, you've been here before?
I lived here all my life.
Oh, did you really? Well, not all your life. You mean up to now.
Well, all of my life. California.
Just because you went to Hollywood, you didn't die, I mean. But I guess you noticed quite a few changes in New York since you've been away.
The only thing I've noticed is Sixth Avenue, the lack of it, I should say.
Oh, it's gone. Well, there are quite a few changes along Broadway. There's a new pineapple hanging up in front of Sloppy Joe. The Barker in front of that burlesque theater is much hoarser than he was 2 years ago. Have you noticed all of the new trees on Fifth Avenue given by Major Bowes and Mr. Rockefeller?
No, I don't think I've noticed them. I haven't expected them.
Well, haven't you noticed the trees?
No,
oh, there are a million. There are so many trees on Fifth Avenue now. I hear some of the office buildings have signs in them now. Do not throw lighted cigarettes out the window. You may start a forest fire. Well, thank you. Thank you, Mrs. Sedge. And our next member.
Mr. Bob Walters from Newark, New Jersey.
Well, good evening, Mr. Walters.
Good evening, Miss Rowland.
May I ask your profession?
Well, I'm a gag man.
A radio gag man?
Yes.
Oh, you don't write serious things. You just write comedy material, huh?
Yes, I do.
Of course, a great many of the comedy routines turn out to be serious when you get them on the air. You haven't got a joke offhand you'd like to tell.
I got one, yeah.
I mean, for nothing?
Yeah.
You won't put anything... you won't send a bill around here later.
No.
Is it a good joke?
It's a good joke.
All right. You want to tell it?
Yeah.
All right. Is it awesome?
Yeah, it's a good joke.
Well, suppose I tell you what we do. We'll get on with... How am I doing for time, Jim? Have I got time? Okay. All right, Mr. Walters. Just want to make sure.
Two fleas retired and bought a dog.
Well, I know. I heard a joke about two Scotch fleas who bought a dog and opened a subdivision on the dog. Right? That shows. I mean, that shows. Mr. Walters, you should be on the air, and I should be... Well, now I guess we're ready for our question of the week. It's probably going to start a lot of trouble this week. Husbands and wives have been arguing about this particular matter for a great many years. Our question tonight is, do you think women drivers operate their cars as efficiently as men? You drive a car, Mr. Lazarus?
Yes, I do.
Do you think that women operate, they drive as well as men, do you?
Oh, definitely not.
You don't think so?
I don't think so.
Well, this is rather an unfair question. Have you ever had any distressing experiences on the road with lady drivers?
So many that I can't remember any definite ones.
Oh, it's too bad. You should have kept a... You should have kept a file or a diary or something. Well, I did. I tell you, I saw a woman put out her hand to turn left on 46th Street today and make a right turn. And the policeman went over and spoke to her about it. She says, I wasn't making any signal. I just had a manicure, and I put out my hand to let my nail enamel dry. But, of course, that's only hearsay. Mrs. Sazh, do you drive a car, do you?
Yes, I do.
Well, how do you feel? Do you think that women drivers are as skilled at the wheel as men?
Yes, I think women are just as good as men at the wheel.
You think that women...
Yes, definitely.
Do you drive a car out in Hollywood, do you?
Yes.
Well, you must be.
Well, I read in one of the national magazines that women know more accidents than men.
Women have...
So that should count in the final analysis.
Well, of course, you can't say that. They might
men
be
men need us for an alibi when they are out and driving.
Oh, no. Yeah, you can't. Now, wait a minute. Mrs. Sazh, if you drive out in Hollywood, you don't need any further recommendation. Out there, those drivers do 60 in parking spaces. Well, how do you feel about it, Mr. Walters? Do you drive a car?
No, I don't, Mr. Rowan.
Well, neither do I. We have something in common. And how do you feel about lady drivers?
Well, I'm noncommittal.
You're not? Well, now we've got a deadlock. Mrs. Sazh says that women drive better, and Mr. Lazarus says that women don't drive quite as well. You haven't, as a radio gag man, you haven't got an odd joke around that could get us out of this routine, have you? About a lady driver? I had another joke today that might finish the whole thing for us. You know, yesterday here in New York, the people voted on and passed the Perry Mutual machine in spite of the fact that the mayor said that he didn't want the thing passed. So I heard that this morning Mayor LaGuardia says that now the bookmakers have made their bets, they can lie in them. Well, apparently we have reached a deadlock in our forum tonight. Mr. Lazarus says aye, Mr. Sazh says nay, and Mr. Walters is noncommittal. I want to thank you all a lot for your kind cooperation tonight, and our forum closes and rests until next week. Thank you a lot. Thank you. And now, ladies and gentlemen, Miss Wynn Murray returns to sing for us Blow, Gabriel, Blow.
Do you know who's playing? Gabriel, Gabriel's playing. Will you be ready to go when I blow my horn? Blow, Gabriel, blow. Go on and blow, Gabriel, blow. I've been a sinner and I've been a scab, but now I'm willing to trim my lamp, so blow, Gabriel, blow.
mighty low, Gabriel low. But now since I have seen the light, I'm good by day and goodbye night, so low, Gabriel low. Once I was headed for Hades. Once I was headed for Hades. But when I got to Satan's door, I heard you blowing on your horn. So I said, Satan, fare thee well. And now I'm all ready to fly. Yes, to fly higher and higher. 'Cause I've gone through brimstone and I've been through fire. And I've purged my soul and my heart to climb up the mountain top and start to blow, Gabriel, blow. Go on and blow, Gabriel, blow. I want to join your happy band and play all day in promised land. So blow, Gabriel, blow.
Thank you. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we'd like to make a very important announcement, one that throws new light on an old subject. And I can assure you that your close attention will be more than repaid by what you hear. All right, Harry.
Recently, ladies and gentlemen, 7 leading medical journals joined in sending out questionnaires to physicians. They asked, do you recommend a laxative in treating a cold? If so, what type do you prescribe? And here is the result of that impartial survey.
7 out of every 10 physicians said they prescribe a saline laxative.
And, ladies and gentlemen, Sal Hepatica is, we believe, the outstanding saline laxative in America today. It is speedy, yet gentle. And speed is mighty important in fighting a cold. In addition, Sal Hepatica helps nature counteract the acidity that so frequently accompanies a cold. So, in 2 ways, sparkling Sal Hepatica helps fight colds and helps faster. Check these statements with your doctor. And before another day goes by, get an economical bottle of Sal Hepatica from your druggist. Then, whenever a cold threatens, do as so many physicians recommend. Take 2 teaspoonfuls of Sal Hepatica in a glass of water. Help nature help you to get through this winter with less time out for colds. With gentle, quick-acting Sal Hepatica.
Peter Van Steeden and his Ipana Rhythm 16 have just played Go Fly a Kite. How you can fly a kite with no strings in the orchestra, I don't know. And now, say, Harry, before we go any farther, let's clean this up. What you were trying to say a minute ago...
I can get it straight for you now.
You want to... Let's straighten it out.
2 tablespoons.
That's all we wanted to know. Thank you very much. And now, ladies and gentlemen, just as long as everything is thoroughly understood... And now, ladies and gentlemen, the Mastodonic Allen Art Group. Tonight they present a radio calamity entitled The Sound Man's Revenge, or He Only Pulled the Trigger a Little Way, because the leading man was half shot already. Peter.
This is station FOO. Through the courtesy of the Leffingwell Loan Company, we bring you the correct time. When you hear the client's body fall, it will be 9:48 Leffingwell Loan Shark time.
What? 90% interest? I'm ruined. Oh.
9:48 Leffingwell Loan Shark time. Men, do you need cash? Call Leffingwell, the friendly financier. Leffingwell doesn't attach your salary or your automobile. All Leffingwell takes is your right eye. The left eye still belongs to you. Digby Livid, a satisfied Leffingwell client, right?
6 months ago, I didn't have no shirt on me back. I made a loan from Leffingwell's. Now I ain't got no skin on me back.
You too can get skun, folks. Remember our slogan, we aim to squeeze. Borrow the Leffingwell way, spelled W-A-Y.
And now, station F-O-O presents... The Finnegan Playhouse, starring Dawson Bells.
Good evening. This is Dawson Bells coming to you through the courtesy of Finnegan's Fishcakes. Tonight, Finnegan's Fishcakes and Dawson Bells celebrate our first anniversary on the air. We are thrilled tonight to have as our guest Hollywood's most famous screen star, Miss Kitty Droopy. Audience, meet Miss Kitty Droopy.
Hello, everyone. I'm charmed to be here, Red Ann. Charmed with this, charmed with that, charmed with dear Dawson, charmed with... Ow, who pinched me?
Thank you. Thank you, divine Miss Droopy. And now, ladies and gentlemen, another anniversary treat. My program is famous, and rightly so, for my sound effects, conceived in solitude by me. I now present the man who has so faithfully executed my sound effects man, Theodore Slade. Speak to your public, Slade. No, 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 dear boy. Say something yourself.
Hello.
Thank you, Slade. And now, ladies and gentlemen, with your kind permission, Dawson Bells presents...
Act One of our Finnegan Fishcake Playhouse. Tonight's masterpiece is entitled Jack and Jill. The radio version is by Dawson Bells from the Mother Goose rhyme of the same name. Prologue is by Dawson Bells.
Thank you. To most of us, Jack and Jill is a simple nursery rhyme. Jack and Jill went up the hill, and so on ad infinitum. Ah, but what tragedy lies behind this innocuous little rhyme? The heartbreaks of a country boy and his simple rustic sweetheart. Tonight is your narrator, I, Dawson Bells, acquaint you with the true story of Jack and Jill. I am Jack Jordan. I live somewhere in New England. New England, land of penury, misery, frustration. My father is a cruel man, cold and bitter as a December morning. One night, I am in the barn alone. My father has given me no supper. I am making a popover of owl's eggs. As I lick the albumen of owl egg from my fingers, the barn door opens. My father enters.
Jack! Jack!
Here, Pa.
Go up the hill and fetch a pail of water.
Pail of water? No, siree. Not on no bitter cold night like this.
I said get the pail of water. Now get.
Paw said get, so I gat. Outside that barn door I stood, seething with rage. Over and over again I said to myself, what shall I do? What shall I do? A voice within me answered.
Don't get that water. No,
Don't get that water.
Kill your father.
Yes, I would kill my father. Inside our squalid house, my father sat, his back to the door. I picked up an axe. Stealthily, I crept to the house. Silently, I opened the door. I lost my nerve. Quietly, I closed the door. Slade, I said quietly.
Sorrow, Mr. Phelps. I got so many sound effects here.
Well, concentrate, Slade.
Yes, sir.
Do that. I decided to forgive my father and fetch the pail of water. Yonder into the cold night I went. Up the steep hill with my heavy oaken pail I toiled. What was that huddled form crouching in my path? Was it a girl? It was. I stopped. The girl spoke.
Hello.
Howdy.
I've lost my way, sir. Help me, please. I need warmth, shelter.
You with a Bose unit?
I'm not lost with a group. I'm just lost.
Oh.
What's your name?
Jack Jordan. What's yours?
Jillibacue Muck and Fuss.
Jillibacue Muck and Fuss?
Yes.
Mind if I call you Jill, Jill?
Jack.
Jill.
Jack.
Jill.
Jack.
Jill.
This dialogue, ladies and gentlemen, is not to be found in the original Mother Goose version. It has been interpolated by Dawson Bells. We return you now to the play.
Jack.
Jill.
Jack.
Jill, I love you, Jill. Yes, love had crept into my bleak little world on rosy, dimpled knees. As Jill and I sat there on that hill, the music of her musical name ran musically through my head like music. All about me, the trees, the bushes seemed to be singing.
Jillibacue
Muck and Fuss.
Jillibacue
Muck and Fuss. Jillibacue Muck and Fuss. Yes, Jillibacue Muck and Fuss. Ecstasy, our very spirit seemed to embrace as Jill and I prepared to learn something from our spirits. A figure burst upon us from out the gloom. It was my father. My father spoke.
I told you to fetch a pail of water. I'll teach you to disobey your power.
My father lunged at me. I parried his thrust. His hand flashed to his belt. I asked myself one question. Was my father pulling his knife?
You're doggone right I'm pulling my knife.
Yes, I was doggone right. Father was pulling his knife. Jill screamed. Father advanced. Father said,
"Drat you, son!"
I felled my father with a blow.
Oh!
Blind with rage, I snatched the knife. I was no longer master of myself. I stood over father's prostrate form. I raised the knife
and so ends Act One in our Finnegan Playhouse. Jack's father doesn't like that upraised knife, does he? But what would he say if on the end of that upraised knife he saw a delicious Finnegan fish cake? He'd say, "Shoot the fish cake for me, Jack boy." Housewife, take a tip from Pa Jordan. Stop in at your grocer's tomorrow. Buy a box of his appetizing golden brown, tangy fresh, butter soft, creamy smooth, mellow rich, honey sweet, oven crisp, fluffy flake, Finnegan's fish cake. And now, Act Two of the Finnegan Playhouse, presenting Jack and Jill, and starring Dawson Bell.
The scene, the top of the hill. Jill is discovered sitting. I, Jack Jordan, had just killed my father. Into the night, Jill and I fled. A storm came up. The wind howled. The thunder roared. The rain came down in torrents. Wait! Turn that seltzer bottle the other way.
I'm sorry, sir. These sound effects. I'm going dipping.
Man yourself, Slade.
Yes, sir.
Jill and I fled down the hill, onward, ever onward. My father's body had been discovered. The long arm of the law reached out to grasp us. From the south came the county sheriff on horseback. From the east came the deputy by train. From the west came the G-men by aeroplane. And from the north, the Mounties in their sleigh. Could Jill and I escape? We grew mad with fear. The law was closing in. Airplanes zoomed. Sleigh bells jangled. Horses hoofed. Sleigh! What is going on here?
The sorrow, sir. These sound effects is getting me screwy.
Where was I?
You were here with us.
Oh, yes, yeah. The sheriff on horseback. The sheriff pulled up his horse and spoke.
Hold on there, Jack Jordan. I'm arresting you for murder.
Well, I ain't submitting, Sheriff.
Jill.
Come with me, Jack Jordan.
I was resolved that sheriff would never take me alive. I pulled my father's knife. I stabbed that sheriff to the heart. I stabbed him, Slade, not shot him.
Sorry, Mr. Phelps. I'm going nuts here.
What was that, Slade?
I killed him again, Mr.
This is confusing.
You're telling me.
And now, Jill spoke.
Jack, I can't stand it.
Jill, put down that gun.
No, I'll end it all. Goodbye, Crowell.
Slade, the gun! The gun!
Oh,
Sheriff, Jill is dead. The sheriff dead. My father dead. I alone live.
Yeah, but not for long, Dawson Belts.
Slade, what does this mean?
I'm going nuts, Belts. Horses, hooves, bodies falling, slave belts. Ever since you went on the air, you've driven me crazy with your sound effects. I can't stand it no
Put
more.
Put down that gun, Slade. What are you doing?
I'm getting my revenge. That's what I'm doing. Take this, Belts.
This is Dawson Bells signing off permanently, ladies and gentlemen. Pending rigor mortis, I remain obediently yours. Oh.
And this is Slade, the sound effects man, quitting for good, folks. And I remain disobediently yours.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's no news to you that at the onset of a cold, most physicians prescribe a laxative. But do you know what type they recommend? In a very recent impartial survey among physicians conducted by leading medical journals, it was found that 7 out of 10 physicians prescribe a saline laxative for colds. And Sal Hepatic is, we believe, the outstanding saline laxative in America. Now, there are 2 very good reasons for this. First,
Sal Hepatica acts quickly. Yet it is exceptionally gentle.
And remember, since the progress of a cold is quick, this greater speed of Sal Hepatica is especially important in fighting it. Second,
Sal Hepatica also helps nature counteract the acidity that so often accompanies a cold.
So you see, Sal Hepatica helps in 2 ways, and helps faster. Check these facts with your doctor. Get an economical bottle of Sal Hepatica at your nearest drugstore tomorrow, or even tonight. And always keep it on hand for special cold-fighting service. Remember, for faster action against cold, take sparkling Sal Hepatica.
Now, before we go, ladies and gentlemen, don't forget that on next Wednesday night, the Fred Allen Hour will bring you health hints.
How can I get rid of a pain in the neck?
Send your wife to Reno.
Your song of the week.
Oh, the Jim won't jump in. The jump in, Jam. Oh,
hey,
the Jim won't
jump in. Just a minute. That's Jim Jam, not Jim Oomph, isn't it?
I gotta leave out the Jim, but I'm dieting.
Oh, I see. Our guest star will be
Dr. Rockwell, direct from his tour of Maine.
Hear Dr. Rockwell's thrilling story.
My 4 years in the lobster pot.
Hear Dr. Rockwell's exciting tale.
The night I spent in a seagull's nest with a good egg.
Next Wednesday, for one night only, Dr. Rockwell.
And music.
Ladies and gentlemen, right now, some 450 American cities are raising funds to maintain their hospitals, visiting nurses, child and family welfare, and other humanitarian services. These community chests deserve our support. Let's give it generously. This is the National Broadcasting Company.